sit down. Thank you. Sit down, please. Please. Amen. All right. Today at 1:05. Thank you. Thank you. From now on, it's rude. Okay, good. Thanks. At 1:05 today, we're going to have a special get-together in Dining Hall 1 for all the missions-minded students. You got a flyer for that on opening day. Just want to remind you that that's today. All of the FBMI staff is here, and we would like to meet you if you're a missions-minded student, if you're a missions major, if you have any interest at all in the world of missions. We want to meet you. We have a Facebook group that we want to invite you to be a part of, and we want to allow you the opportunity to get involved in the world of missions. And we're going to be doing some planning throughout the course of the year for our First Baptist Church Missions Conference the last week of March, some of the trips that we've got planned later in the year, other areas where you as students can be involved and be of help. And so if you'd like to come by and sign up for that, you're welcome to. Meet the staff. You can do that. For those of you that are slightly less interested, we have extra snacks there today that you can get beyond your normal lunch. And so please take a minute, stop by, and let us meet you and meet us. We appreciate that very much. I do a lot of traveling, and I'm asked regularly, Brother Bushy, out of all the countries that you've been to so far, which is your favorite country? And we lived in New Zealand. My wife and I and our children lived there for 12 years. Four of my children were born in New Zealand. They're Kiwis by birth. Our youngest child, Alyssa, she's 9 now. She was born in Thailand. So we have 4 Yanks, 4 Kiwis, and a Thai in our family. And I love both the countries where we lived for a long time. But without any hesitation, I always say my favorite country is the United States of America. I'm honored and privileged to be an American by birth. I'm very glad that God chose to allow me to be born here. When I was in college, I heard a statement made by a pastor at pastor school one year. I believe it was Dr. David Gibbs, and he said, in the world today, that America has about 4% of the population and about 90% of the full-time Christian workers. And I remember when I heard that statement that it just broke my heart. I literally wept sitting up in the balcony at the Jack Howes Memorial Auditorium. I just kind of lost it. And I made a decision that if God ever called me to preach, that I wouldn't stay in America, that I would travel, that I would leave this country and go to other countries and give people an opportunity to get saved that had never heard the gospel before. Now I'm 52 years old. That's many, many years ago now. And unfortunately, the statistics are very similar now that they were 30-some years ago. That today, America still has roughly 4% of the world's population and roughly 90% of the full-time Christian workers. If that bothers you like it bothered me, let me beg you to consider allowing God to call you to be a missionary if he wants to. At least be open to that call. And I thank God for countries like Mexico that are sending out hundreds of missionaries this year, for countries like the Philippines that will send out hundreds of missionaries this year. But we as Americans do have an advantage. We're a very wealthy country. We have good training, good resources. We have good doctrine. We have good churches. And those that go out from America can be very effective. And I beg you to at least consider that. I'd like you to take your Bible, if you would, and turn to the book of 2 Timothy. I'm going to read from 2 Timothy chapter 2 this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 2 for the first 7 verses. And I'm going to ask you to stay seated there. I respect the word of God, but I'm in a little bit of a hurry this morning, so we'll just stay seated. 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse 1 and down through verse 7. And I'll ask you to follow along silently in your King James Bible while I read out loud. The Bible says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things." 17 years ago yesterday, my wife was on an airplane. She was bringing two of our children. Sarah at that time was 6, almost 7. Nathan was 1 year old, almost 2. They're all three of them here this morning. They were on a plane. They had flown from New Zealand to Los Angeles. They were flying from Los Angeles to Knoxville, Tennessee. And they actually landed quite late last evening, 17 years ago. At that time, of course, we had no idea what was coming the next morning. And I remember being in New Zealand with our other three children at that time, and the phone rang early in the morning, about 5 o'clock in the morning, New Zealand time, and I answered the phone, and my wife said, first of all, let me tell you that I'm okay, and secondly, let me tell you why I'm calling you at 5 o'clock in the morning to tell you that. And she began to describe to me what was happening at that time in New York City, in a plane, in a field in Pennsylvania, and also at the Pentagon. And that morning, over 3,600 Americans lost their lives, whether they were on one of those four planes, whether they were in one of the Twin Towers of the World Trade Center, whether they were in the Pentagon, whether they were a fireman or a policeman or a paramedic, many Americans lost their lives. And America learned something that day. We learned that there are two ways that you can go to war. One way to go to war is when you decide to go to war. And the other way to go to war is when your enemy decides to go to war. The Bible says that as a Christian that I'm supposed to be a good soldier. I'm commanded in the Word of God to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And part of the reason why I'm commanded to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ is that I have an enemy that has decided to go to war, whether I decide to go to war or not. The Bible says that we are, it says here, it talks about the grace of Jesus Christ. It says that we are under grace. I believe that we're living in what many would call the age of grace. But please notice that the Bible also commands us to be strong in that grace. There are many Christians today who use the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ as an excuse to be a wimp. They use the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ to say, I don't need to fight a battle. I'm not under the law anymore. I can live any way that I want to. I can behave any way that I want to because I'm under grace. But the Bible says that because I have the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that I ought to be strong in that grace and that I ought to make a decision to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You see, the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Let me tell you what I believe that verse is saying. It's saying, first of all, you've got an enemy that has declared war against you, whether you want it or not. That you're in a battle that's going to happen whether you like that or not. And if I were to say to you today, hey, when you leave chapel today, somewhere out there in the hallways of our college here, there is a full-grown male African lion, 10 feet long from nose to tail, and he's very hungry today, he'd like to eat you. If I were to say that, and if you were to believe me, it would probably change your behavior for the rest of the day. Would you agree with me on that? You'd probably choose carefully the path that you took. You'd watch very carefully what was going on around you if you knew that that lion was out there. And I've got bad news for you. There's something much worse. There's an archangel, one of the first creations of God, that has powers that you and I do not have, far more powerful than an actual lion, who would love to destroy your life. And he's hunting you right now. There's a battle going on. There's a battle that's happening right now. And the Bible also says that many of the afflictions from that enemy are happening to your brethren right now that are out in the world. There are some that have decided, I don't need to live like a soldier. I'm going to live like I'm on vacation as a Christian. I'm going to go out and live like the world does, and that does not remove them from the battle. They're just that much closer to being destroyed. You and I need to decide to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. You see, there's an element of participation here. There's an element of you saying, you know what? I'm saved. I'm going to go to heaven. I'm going to live there forever. My sins are gone. But I've got a few years between now and then that I can do something that matters for Jesus Christ. And I'm going to raise my hand. I'm going to get involved in the Lord's army. I may never march in the infantry, ride in the cavalry, shoot the artillery. I may never zoom over the enemy, but I am in the Lord's army. Amen. And I want to participate in the Lord's army. I don't know if you've noticed it. If you're a new freshman, you may still be just catching on to the concept, but Hiles Anderson College is not a nursery. Hiles Anderson College is not a playground. Hiles Anderson College is a boot camp, and the reason that we have this college is to train good soldiers for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not meant to be easy when you come here. When a man goes into the military, they don't send him to boot camp and say, go ahead and sleep till 10 o'clock and we'll have pizza ready when you get up. When they send him to boot camp, he goes through a rigorous regimen of physical exercise that pushes him and strains him to make him stronger and faster and better so that he can be a good soldier for the United States of America. And when God sent you here, he sent you here not so you could have it easy, not because it's playtime, not because it's fun time, but because he's going to push you and going to stretch you and going to make you better and going to make you faster so that you can be a better soldier for Jesus Christ. While you're here, why don't you decide that when you're in one of the premier soul-winning colleges of America, why don't you decide to become an expert soul winner? Instead of fudging on the activity reports, why don't you decide I'm going to let them push me out of my comfort zone and I want to leave here in 4 years knowing how to be a good soul winner. That's why I came here, by the way. I came here in 1982 to my first youth conference. I heard a man I'd never seen in my life named Dr. Jack Hiles. I heard him preach the devil out of people, and I thought to myself, I want to come to this college because it's going to raise my standards and it's going to teach me how to be a soul winner. That's why I came here. If you're going to come here to Hiles Anderson, please don't leave not knowing how to win a soul to Christ. Please don't leave not being an expert at leading a soul to Christ. I often will tell people, I'll say, if you die today, do you know for sure you're going to heaven? No, I don't. If somebody could show you from the Bible that you could know that for sure, would you be interested in what the Bible says? Yes, I would. I say, I got good news for you today. I'm an expert. I'm an expert at taking the Word of God and showing somebody how they can know for sure that they'll go to heaven when they die. And aren't you blessed God gave you an expert to show? And I want every single one of you to be able to say the same thing one day. I'm an expert at preaching the gospel. I'm an expert at showing somebody how they can know for sure that they're going to heaven. Why don't you become an expert in discipleship? The Great Commission is not go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It doesn't stop there. It also says they ought to get baptized. It also says that we ought to teach them all things whatsoever Jesus Christ commanded us. We need to learn how to be good at discipling. We need to know how to take somebody that 10 minutes ago didn't know anything about salvation, and now they understand it, they believe it, they've gotten saved, and there's some more steps. How do we get them down the road so that they can grow and mature? Because, hey, the idea of Christianity is multiplication. Amen. The idea that Jesus Christ gave us the Great Commission for is that we can take somebody out of the world and bring them to where we are so that one day they're also reaching others. Do you realize that soul winning is the cutting edge of Christianity? Many times I was out there knocking on doors in the country of New Zealand, and I'd knock on door after door after door, and nobody would answer, nobody would talk to me, nobody would listen, and it was not always easy. But hey, I was a trained soldier, amen? I wasn't there because it was easy. I was there because somebody had to do it. And I remember knocking on the door one day and thinking to myself, you know, all over America, 77 supporting churches at that point, their people are sacrificing, putting money into their Faith Promise Missions program and sending it to be IMI, who forwarded us to here in New Zealand so that we can pay our rent, put gas in the car. All of that is just so that I can go out and knock on somebody's door and tell them how to find Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's what it's all about. That's the point of the spear. That's the reason we're here. Hey, if you're not going to win souls to Christ, why are you still here? Everything we do for God, we're going to do better in heaven, except soul winning. I enjoyed the music. Did you enjoy the music this morning? God's given those three people some talent, amen, and I appreciate them using it for God's glory. But I'll tell you something, when I get to heaven, I'm going to sing better than that. I'm going to have a perfect body, amen. My vocal cords are going to work right. I'm going to be able to sing, and I'm going to keep a tone and hold the pitch and all that. We're all going to sing. We're going to be an angelic choir, amen. Better than the angels. Yeah. You know, I like eating. Anybody here like eating? You know the first thing we're going to do when we get to heaven? It's called the marriage supper of the Lamb. Y'all get that, right? Supper's eating time, amen. I mean, if you're just here to eat, you might as well go to heaven. It's all better there. No, you think about it. Everything we do, whether it's fellowship, go to church, study the Bible. Man, we get to heaven, study the Bible. We can have the Apostle Paul teach us what Romans means. Everything we do, we can do better in heaven except go soul winning. That's why God left you here. And God says, you know what I need? I need some good soldiers for Jesus Christ. I need somebody to say, I'm going to buckle down. I'm going to do the hard thing. I got to get it figured out. I'm not going to play my way through 4 years of college. I'm not going to lie on a single activity report. I'm going to let them force me to get out there. And by the way, some of us are shy. Amen. I'm shy. Yeah, you don't believe me. But some of us are. We don't like going up and knocking on a door. Don't like asking a stranger if he died today, do you know for sure you're going to heaven? But you can learn how. And you can get good at it. And you can become an expert. And you can get to a place where God says, this is one of my good soldiers right here. And part of that is participation. It's you just saying, you know what? I'm going to get involved. There's another thing here in this passage here in 2 Timothy 2. There's also the aspect of separation. Because God says that no man that wants to be a good soldier entangleth himself in the things of this world. There's got to be some separation. There's got to be, you know what, I can't be busy playing video games all the time if I'm going to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I've got to let some things go. I can't spend all my time watching movies if I'm going to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I've got to let myself, I got to stop getting tangled up in the things of this world. And this world is very seductive. It wants to draw you in and waste your time. You know, it bothers me a little bit that we as independent fundamental Baptists, that we've become more and more like the world. Can I just say this? Do you know I can tell a Muslim when I see one? I mean the guy's wearing his little cap on and he's got his long white robe if he's an Emir. And I can tell a lady wearing a black burqa, she's Muslim. They're not ashamed of it. They're letting everybody know. You know, it's interesting. I travel a lot of different places, and I see Orthodox Jews. You know, I can tell when somebody's an Orthodox Jew. And they got their long sideburns that curl down under their ears, and they got the long threads hanging from their shirts. And I don't know why. And to me, it looks a little bit silly. But they're not ashamed of it. They don't mind you knowing who they are and what they stand for. Do you know, I travel a lot. I can tell gay people when I see them. They advertise. They wear their cute little skinny jeans and their tight pink shirts. And a couple guys here I'm worried about, but anyway. They got their floppy hairdo. A little light in their loafers, limp-wristed. But you know, when you see one, you know them. You can tell. Why is it that a professional athlete, an NFL player, wears a uniform and we can't tell who the Baptists are anymore? Why is it that when the worldly woman walks down the street and an ex-IFB-er walks down the street, you can't tell the difference anymore? You know, I've noticed that when somebody's in the military, you can tell they're in the military. Did you notice that? Maybe the problem is we got Christians that have stepped out of the military. Maybe they're not in the Lord's army anymore. But Jesus Christ said, I'm looking for some folks that'll be a good soldier for Jesus Christ. Good night. Get your hair cut like an independent fundamental Baptist. Well, you know, we've had some preachers mess up. Is that really your excuse? Or is it really that you love this present world? You know, I see a whole generation. Some of the folks that used to sit in this room right here when I was in college, and they're moving to the left and they're changing. And their music's changing, and their dress standards are changing, and they start wearing culottes, and then the culottes become shorts, and then they just give it up, and they're wearing tight britches. It's not because they decide to be a better soldier for Jesus Christ. It's because they don't want to be different from the world around them. And Jesus Christ says, I'm looking for somebody that's willing to be different. Will you step away? Your dress ought to be different. Your talk ought to be different. Your entertainment ought to be different. You ought to get away from that. Separate from that. Can I show you some Bible verses? Thank you. I thought you wouldn't mind. Look, if you would, at Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. I had a bozo call me a couple months ago. I love him. Amen. I love that bozo. And he called because he's 20 years my junior, but he wanted to teach me the Bible. And I listened, and he took me to Romans 12, verse 2. He said this, the Bible says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. He said, see, Brother Bushy, the Bible's not talking about the outside. It's just talking about your mind. God just wants to change your thinking, and so the outside doesn't matter. You can dress any way you want as long as your thinking is right. You can look any way you want. You can cut your hair any way you want as long as your thinking's right. And so I kindly said, hey, bozo, let's go back to verse 1, shall we? It happens to be in the same passage. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your what?
Eyes.
Your what?
Eyes.
Yeah, that's the outside. Yeah, God said, I want the outside and the inside. And you've got a world constantly trying to conform you. They're trying to take you like a piece of aluminum foil and wrap them around themselves and trying to make you look like them. And guys, some of you come here, and bless your heart, I know you're young and you're learning, but you're wearing a haircut. You didn't get that from Billy Sunday. You didn't get that. You didn't look at a picture of an independent fundamental Baptist preacher and say, you know what, that's the kind of haircut I'm going to wear, and come with that floppy hairdo. You got that from watching Hollywood. We're not stupid. We know where it came from. Where do you get your... When you look at somebody and they're doing something that appeals to you, and you say, you know what, I want to copy that, and you bring it here to Hiles Anderson College, be careful who you are looking at. Because the world's trying to change you and make you look like them. And the whole point is they're trying to take you away from being a good soldier for Jesus Christ. Can you be a soul winner with long hair? Yes. But I don't know very many. Can you be a soul winner and listen to rock and roll music? Yes, but not for very long. And by the way, these ex-IFBers, if you will, that have changed, they're not producing missionaries. In fact, most of the ones I know of, the only missionaries they have came from here and went liberal with them. You know, God's got a plan. God says, first of all, participate. Decide what you're going to do. Second of all, separate. Decide what you're not going to do. Third of all is submission. Decide to do it the way that God told you to do it. Fellas, how many of you called to preach? Raise your hand. If you're called to preach, say amen.
Amen.
Charles Spurgeon used to say, if you think you're called to preach and you got a shallow chest and a high voice, God didn't call you to preach. Amen. Go home, stand in front of the mirror, and practice. Amen. Get some voice there. Get some volume and practice a little bit. God called you to preach, be a preacher. Amen. I said, if God called you to preach, be a preacher. Amen. If God called you to preach, be a preacher. Don't sit behind a table and have a little Bible study, the two of you in your loose neck collars and your shorts and your jandals. Get up and preach. If God called you to preach, get up and preach. If God called you to preach, raise your voice and preach. By the way, teaching gives you knowledge. Preaching makes you decide what you're going to do with it. Get up and preach. You say, well, I went out today and I shared the word. That's not preaching. Preaching says, you know what, if you die today, you're going to go to heaven or hell. Which one do you want to go to? And makes people make a decision. That's what preaching is. It's okay when you're preaching to move around a little bit. It's okay when you're preaching to sweat a little bit. It's okay when you got to loosen your tie a little bit because you're preaching. And by the way, you loosen your tie because you got one. Come on. See, God had a plan. God said, I got a way that's going to save your soul. Listen to this. The Bible says, I got to find it here. Here we go. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Amen. God, you know, God had a plan. God said, you don't have to figure it out. Because honestly, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense that some guy stands up front, runs all over the platform, spits and hollers and screams, and makes an absolute fool out of himself, but the Holy Spirit uses that to talk to your heart. And I don't know how it works, I just know that it does. And I know that every major decision I've made in my life, except for my own salvation, was under the preaching of God's word by a man of God, holding the word of God with the Spirit of God, preaching with the power of God. It changes me. It changes you. And here's the thing. We got all these theories floating around. Well, I think we're going to try this. We're going to try this. And they don't know how it's going to end up. They don't know what their children are going to turn out like. I know one thing. I know that when I stand up and preach, I'm doing the same thing that John the Baptist did 2,000 years ago on the banks of the Jordan River, and it's been working the whole time. Amen. 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 I like choirs. Amen. I know there's one in heaven. That's pretty safe. Amen. When there's a choir, I like that kind of thing. You know, confrontational soul winning. That's not God's plan for building a church. Did you know that? I'll say that again. Confrontational soul winning. That's not God's plan for building a church. In fact, it's not even your job to build a church. Jesus Christ said, upon this rock, I will build my church. Your job is to be obedient. Go give somebody a chance to get saved that didn't have a chance yesterday. That's what you got to do. And boy, I'll tell you what. You say, I tell you what, I want to be a good soldier. You know you can't be a good soldier without a battle? Hello? You can't be a good soldier without a battle. We got a whole generation of Christians. I want to be a good soldier for Jesus Christ. I just don't want to fight. I want to be a good soldier for Jesus Christ. I just don't want to be rejected. I want to be a good soldier for Jesus Christ. I just don't want any confrontation. I want to be a good soldier for Jesus Christ. I'm going to reach the whole world by boosting my Facebook page. There's no battle there. When you look like the world, there's no battle. When you listen to the same music as the world, there's no battle. There's no confrontation, there's no rejection, there's no anger, there's no confliction there. There's no battle because there's nothing. You're just exactly like they are. You go out and you knock on your first door, and a Catholic priest comes to the door. You got a battle. Amen. Amen. You got to get some joy out of that. Hallelujah. Somebody didn't like it when I gave him a track. Amen. The Bible says, yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Amen. If you're living godly, it's going to come. And the Bible also says that when you get persecuted, that you ought to rejoice. Matthew chapter 5. Look it up later. You're supposed to rejoice. Hallelujah. Somebody got mad at me today. Woo! Somebody slammed a door in my face. Yeah, they can't do that when you're sitting at your computer on Facebook. That's a good sign you're out doing something you're supposed to be doing. Amen. That's where the battle is. And God said, here's what it takes. Number one, you got to decide to get involved. I'm going to be a soldier. There's an enemy out there that's attacking me either way. I'm going to fight. I'm going to be a good soldier for Jesus Christ. Number two, I'm going to separate. There's some things that I got to leave behind. I can't be a good soldier while I've got this stuff in my life. And so because I want to be a good soldier for Jesus Christ, I'm going to push that out of the way. Number three, I'm going to submit. God's got a way to do it. His way is always best. It doesn't always make sense to me, but when you've done it long enough, you know he's right. And everybody else that has all these amazing arguments is wrong. Just do it God's way. You know, God likes prayer meetings. Did you know that? Amen. Yeah, that was God's idea. The Bible says these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. And that's how God sent Pentecost, because of a prayer meeting. By the way, do you know what they prayed for the most in the New Testament? The number one prayer request in the book of Acts? They prayed for boldness. Do you know why they prayed for boldness? Because they were shy and nervous like you are. They said, I want to be a good soldier, but I don't know if I've got the courage. I want to be a good soldier, but I'm nervous about going out there where the Jews are. There's people who aren't going to like me. They're going to slam the door in my face. They're going to laugh at me. God, give me boldness. You know, when you're serving God, you're doing it His way. You're going out soul winning. Guys, when you're preaching, when you're having prayer meetings, God constantly stretches you a little bit past where you're able. It's kind of like you're in a swimming pool and the water's up to here, and you keep trying to get up on your tiptoes so you can keep breathing, and God puts the water up here because He wants you to know you need Him. You're going to be a good soldier. You've got to have the general. You've got to have good communication with the general. Jesus Christ says, why don't you come and why don't you get involved? Why don't you participate? We need participation. Why don't you separate? We need separation. Why don't you submit? We need submission. And then why don't you consider? We need consideration. Verse 7 there in 2 Timothy chapter 2, it says, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. One of the things that I strive to do every single day of my life is spend some time thinking about the judgment seat of Christ. Because it's coming soon. And you and I are going to stand in front of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're going to find out what really matters in our life. And I imagine there'll be some there that were quiet warriors that very few knew about, whether they were prayer warriors or soul-winning warriors or preaching warriors. They were good soldiers of Jesus Christ. They didn't get much attention. They weren't necessarily popular. But when they stand in front of Jesus Christ one day and find out that their whole eternity is going to be better because of what they did, oh my goodness, won't it be worth it then? And I think, too, the Bible says there are going to be some that stand before Jesus Christ and they're going to watch their whole life taken as wood, hay, stubble, gold, silver, precious stones and thrown into that fire, and they're going to watch a lot of it just disappear. And they're going to go into heaven yet so as by fire. And they're going to realize that all their high scores and all the money they made and the brand name of their clothing didn't matter a whole lot. And I think that that first day when we walk into heaven, stand in front of that judgment seat, and we realize how short that our life here was compared to how long eternity was, there'll be many that say, oh, I wish I could do that over again. Think about that. Consider what I say. Consider what I say. I want you to do well at the judgment seat of Christ. Can I invite you to be a soldier? Can I invite you to join in the battle? It's already started. It's going on whether you're in it or not. But I sure would like to have you get involved. We could use your help. Can I encourage you to separate? There's some things that are calling for your attention. They're trying to pull you out of the battle, distract you, slow you down. Can I encourage you to get rid of those things? Can I encourage you to stop trying to find a new way and just do what's been working for the last 2,000 years? Get involved in a prayer meeting. We've got one tomorrow morning at 6:30 in the front lobby if you're interested. Come on and join us and pray for our missionaries. Get involved in soul winning. Get involved in preaching. Guys, preach on the night bus. Amen. Learn how to preach. You say, I'm not comfortable. That's great. That's great. Then you need God, don't you? Amen. Amen. But do it God's way. And think about what you're doing. You're not kids anymore. You're adults now. You're in Bible college. It's a serious thing that we're doing here. Get involved in it. Do it right. And do it because one day it's going to be worth it all. Father, thank you for reminding us that you are our general, you're our captain, that we have one life to live and we can use it for ourselves and lose it all, or we can give it to you and not lose any of it. Father, I pray that you please speak to hearts this morning. Help us to surrender. Use this in a great way. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.